Indra became angry when his sacrifice was disrupted, and thus he caused rain and hail to fall on Gokula, accompanied by lightning and powerful winds, all of which brought great suffering to the cowherd's animals and women there. When Lord Krishna, who is by nature always compassionate, saw the condition of those who had only him as their shelter, he smiled broadly and lifted Govardhan Hill with one hand, just as a small child picks up a mushroom to play with it. In this way, he protected the cowherd community. May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The word Indra means lord or king. Thus in this verse, Krishna is pointedly called Indra Gavam, the lord of the cows. In fact, he is the real Indra, the real ruler of everyone, and the demigods are merely his servants representing his supreme will. It is apparent from this and the previous verses in this chapter that Lord Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill made quite an impression on the simple cowherd men of Vrindavan, and they repeatedly remembered this feat. Certainly anyone who soberly and objectively considers the activities of young Krishna will surrender to him and become his eternal devotee in loving devotional service. That is the rational conclusion one should come to after reading this chapter.
Hare Krishna.
On this very auspicious celebration of Sri Govardhan Puja, we have read from the 26th chapter, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 25th sloka, which in itself summarizes this greatly significant pastime of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Govardhan Puja is especially worshipped by all devotees of Lord Krishna, especially within our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, because not only does this pastime attract our hearts and awaken incessant desire to serve and love Krishna, but also philosophically, socially, there are so many essential lessons to be learned. One who hears this pastime attentively with a submissive heart is sure to gain infinite blessings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and make great progress on the spiritual path. In fact, this is the reason that we celebrate such festivals, to purify our hearts, and by doing such we become disentangled from this material existence. We are bound to this material existence due to our insurmountable desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. But this desire is literally uncontrollable unless it is redirected toward the service of Krishna. Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhaktirupya. The same mind and senses that causes such great suffering in this world, when simply directed toward glorifying Krishna and serving Krishna, it becomes the very source of infinite ecstatic spiritual pleasure. So please hear very carefully as we make our insignificant attempt to explain this wonderful subject matter which has been revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Actually, this pastime of Sri Govardhan Leela has been explained in so many ways and so many times by the greatest of our acharyas. Because in such a pastime as this, there is unlimited realizations that erupt from the hearts of the great souls. Certainly, I have no proper qualification to even attempt to speak. However, on the order of my beloved Guru Maharaj and the assembled Vaishnavas, we will make some attempt to repeat what we have heard from the great souls as a service to all of you. Shukadev Goswami describes how Krishna fulfilled the innermost desire of the wives of the yajnik Brahmins. He gave their husbands an opportunity to perfect their lives. All they had to do is surrender just a little of what they were using for the yajna to Krishna and Balaram. What an opportunity. They had so much facilities for this yajna. So much prasad was available. Krishna gave them the chance. All they had to do is just give a little to the cowherd boys to bring back to them, and they would have achieved the ultimate perfection of life. But they refused to even do that due to their false pride and material attachments to their high position of being Brahmins and learned scholars. Isn't it interesting that in this age of Kali, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving everybody the chance to perfect their lives? Such a simple price. Just chant Hare Krishna and follow these simple principles. In previous ages, one had to indulge in such intense, difficult spiritual processes, which are impossible for anyone in this age. Just offer your small little life to Krishna, that's all. And you'll achieve the spiritual world without doubt. Take his name. But due to false pride, people in this world are not willing to do so. And even amongst devotees, still we're so much attached to who we are and what we could do and what we have. We're trying to keep some separation between certain aspects of our life and our service to the Lord. Therefore, like the yajnik Brahmins, we are cheating ourselves. But when the cowherd boys in the order of Krishna asked their wives, they immediately took everything that they had, the best of what they had. And even though it was socially a risk that they would lose the grace of their husbands, even though socially they may have been rejected, they didn't care. They just wanted to please and serve Krishna. They took this as the opportunity of their lives. And all they were offering was just a few baskets of prasad. But along with it, they were offering their hearts. And thus they achieved the ultimate perfection of pure love of Krishna. After this wonderful story where Krishna fulfilled the desires of the yogic Brahmins, he happened to see Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men working very, very busily, roaming around that area of Braja, preparing for a big, big yajna. So Krishna approached his father and told him, "My dear father, I see that you are very, very busy roaming here and there, preparing for some sort of a sacrifice. Could you tell me, what is this sacrifice? How are you going to perform the sacrifice? What is the purpose or goal you hope to achieve through this sacrifice, and who is this sacrifice for? You should tell me everything, because great personalities are very honest to tell their intentions to others. And amongst intimate family members and friends like myself, there should be no secrets. So please, my father, explain to me." Nanda Maharaj, very charmed by his child Krishna's words, put him on his lap and began to speak. He said, "My dear boy, we are Vaishyas. That means our occupational duty is to herd cows. Our economic standards and ability to live comes through the cows giving milk. And the cow's milk depends on the fresh green grasses that they eat. Now, without rain, there can be no grass. And Indra happens to be the devata who provides rain. Therefore, it is our tradition of our family, since time immemorial, that on this particular day every year we perform a puja for Lord Indra. And by doing so, Indra is satisfied, and he showers rains, which makes the grass grow, the cows eat the grass, we get the milk, and our livelihood is met. Not only is it in our family, but traditions show that people all over the world do this Indra Puja on this day." When Krishna heard this, he smiled upon his father, and he had many intentions within his heart. One intention is being the Paramatma in everyone's heart. He happened to know that his dear devotee, Indra, was too much proud of his opulence and his powerful position. Queen Kunti prays that Janmaishwarya Shruti Sribir Edamanamadapuman Naivarhati Vidatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gocharam. That people who are too much infatuated by high birth, a lot of wealth, high education, and physical beauty, they become proud. And in that proud position, they cannot feelingly chant the holy names. Now Krishna, he explains in the Gita, Kontiya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. He always protects his devotee. How he protects his devotee is according to his supreme perfect will. And we're about to hear how Krishna protected Indra. Not according to Indra's desire or expectation, but he gave him exactly the medicine that he needed. There was a mountain of pride in the heart of Indra. He has all the wealth of the heavenly planets, beautiful, beautiful palace, the Nandana gardens that demigods are envious of, beautiful apsaras like Urvasi who are dancing and singing for his pleasure, such power, that millions and millions of people are coming before him with folded hands saying, Indra, please give us rain, give us your mercy. We are depending on you. We will die without your blessings. Hare Krishna. People become very proud when they're glorified in this way. And where there is pride, there cannot be the proper cultivation of bhakti. Pride is the worst enemy of bhakti. Trinarapi sunichena, tadorapi sahishtana. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. If we want to make spiritual advancement, this has to be the goal and the means of achieving the goal in our life. To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, to be ready to offer all respect to others and to expect no respect for oneself. In this way, we should chant the holy names constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, thinking in this way, Gopal began to speak. He said, My dear father, according to our activities, we get a corresponding reaction to these activities. This is called the laws of karma. And whatever is going to happen to us is just going to take place as a result of our karma. Therefore, our particular type of conditioning in life is actually the cause of our destiny. And as far as the demigods, or even God himself, is concerned, they do not interfere with the laws of karma. They just give you what you deserve. They have to give you what you deserve. Even they are under the influence of just giving what the laws of karma dictate. So in my opinion, dear father, there is no reason to worship Indra. After all, Indra is giving water to the oceans. They don't need water. He's giving to the mountains. They don't need water. Water's coming. Just by the individual and collective karmic influences within the world. Krishna was speaking what is called Karma Mamamsa philosophy, in which he was explaining to Nanda Maharaj, the goal of life is actually to worship your occupational duty. To perform your work with good intentions, with good motives, not to hurt anyone. And you're bound to get everything that you require with all prosperity. God will bestow it upon you. So, in my opinion, Krishna explained, we should worship that which is giving us immediate benefits. And the immediate benefits we're getting is coming from Govardhan Hill. After all, Govardhan Hill is giving such beautiful lakes of water for our cows to drink, the freshest, most delicious grasses for our cows to eat. So just forget about this Indra, and we should worship Govardhan Hill. Nanda Maharaj replied that we can worship Govardhan Hill after, but first let us do our Indra Puja. Krishna responded to that with the intention of angering Indra. He said, this Indra Puja is useless. We don't need Indra. We're getting what we need from Govardhan Hill. So with the same paraphernalia that you have for Indra Puja, we should do the Govardhan Puja. How? By worshipping the cows, the Brahmins, and Govardhan Hill. So, he said, I will explain exactly how it should be done. First, we should have the Brahmins chant their mantras, and they should perform their yajnas. Then we should give them proper charity and respect. then we should feed the cows best quality nice grasses to eat and enjoy. If the cows and the Brahmins are satisfied, everything becomes auspicious. Then we should make mountains and mountains of bhoga to offer to Govardhan. We should make rice and chapatis and sabjis and halava and pakoras and puris and ladus and rasgullas and sweet rice. And we should offer it all to Govardhan Hill. And also, we should do parikrama. Taking the cows and the bulls in front of us, we should circumambulate the Govardhan Hill. This will make me very satisfied. Krishna spoke in such charming and sweet words and was so convincing that Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men were so charmed that they surrendered. Through this, Krishna was actually speaking a philosophy which he himself defeats in Bhagavad Gita. But he was also establishing the philosophy that is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masujaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Krishna, through his argumentation, wanted to establish that the perfection of life is exclusive, unmotivated, uninterrupted, unconditional service to him. Kamaisthaisthaya hrittikyana prabhatyante yadevata tam tam niyatamashtaya prakritya. Krishna says that worship of the demigods is for those who have minds that are spoiled by material intelligence. Those who worship the demigods, according to their own positions, they perform the particular rules and regulations of worship to get material benefits. But those material benefits are the source of misery. And besides that, whatever the demigods are giving, they have no power to give anything except what they receive from Krishna. So demigod worship is meant for materialistic people, to make them more pious, to elevate them in the modes of material nature. But the perfection of life is to offer all honor and respect to all the demigods, but to worship Krishna. Because he alone can give pure, unmotivated love. He can liberate us from the cycle of birth and death. So the Vrijabasis, really, they didn't care about all this philosophy. They just wanted to make Krishna happy. Everyone in Vrindavan, from the grass on the ground to Nanda Maharaj, the king, and everyone in between, their only purpose of life was just to make Krishna smile. That is the perfection. They were not aware that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even if they were, it didn't make any difference. They loved him because he was Krishna. He was their child. He was their friend. He was their lover. He was their master. He was their everything. So they proceeded to perform the Govardhan Puja. At that time, Nanda Maharaj made the wonderful offerings. First he offered Padya, Madhuparka, Achman, and everything to Govardhan Hill. Then he had mountains and mountains and mountains of bhoga to be offered to the hill. And then they did the parikrama of Giriraj. How did they do parikrama? According to Krishna's instructions, first they had musicians playing instruments and singing and dancing. And behind them were the gopas. And the gopas had their sticks, the old gopas and the young gopas. So they were herding the cows and the bulls. And Krishna was amongst that crowd with Balaram and his friends, herding the cows. Everyone was so happy, smiling, because Krishna was happy. Everyone was happy. And behind them was another second group of musicians playing instruments and singing and dancing. Meanwhile, Brahmins were chanting Vedic mantras. And then there were the gopis. The gopis, many of them were on ox carts, bullocks, and they were all singing the glories of Krishna. Everyone was looking at Krishna. Srimati Radharani and her friends, Braja gopis, to them this was a festival to their eyes, because they could just be with Krishna and look at Krishna and exchange glances with Krishna, even in front of everybody, to their heart's content. But sometimes, due to the large crowds of people in the parikrama, Krishna was out of their sight. So Krishna would, with his stick, he would tap one of his calves so that that cow or calf would go in the direction of the gopis. Then he would go to chase after it. And then he would exchange smiles with them. And everyone was very happy. After this parikrama, everyone came to a place called Mukharavinda, the mouth of Govardhan, that area. And near that area there was big, big offerings. There was literally mountains of prasad, big, big mountains, lakes of liquid prasad. So much. It covered an expanse of literally like miles of area. Meanwhile, Krishna, he was amongst the cowherd men and cowherd ladies, and he personally expanded himself and assumed the form of Govardhan Hill. Gigantic form, huge form. The form of Giriraj. And he was sitting right on the top of the Govardhan mountain. There was the inanimate and animate form of Govardhan, Krishna. And when the gopas and gopis saw this form, they were struck with wonder. They could understand that Govardhan Hill is non-different than Krishna. Although he was manifesting his gigantic form of Giriraj, he was simultaneously retaining his original form. And he led all the gopas and gopis to offer their obeisances to this magnificent form of Giriraj. And he said, "Look, my dear gopas and gopis, Govardhan Hill is none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth. And he's appeared in this personal, human-like form just to accept our offerings. Just look at how huge, gigantic his eyes are. And how huge, gigantic his mouth is. And look at his arms. And he has come just to accept our offerings. Just to reciprocate with your love and devotion." Then they offered all the prepared bhoga to Giriraj. And with his hands, in a matter of just moments, he ate everything. Hare Krishna. There was nothing left. Then he cried out in a voice, "If the Supreme Personality of Godhead takes the form of a gigantic mountain and roars, that is the sound of this voice. Ani or, ani or. Give me more." Why? Because it was offered with such devotion. Krishna can never get enough of the devotion of his devotees. This is the essence of all the secrets of the Vedic literatures. That Krishna is only satisfied by the love offered of his devotees. And he's never satiated with that love. He becomes dependent on his devotees to give him more and more of their love and devotion. So he was crying for more. There was nothing else in the entire Braja to give him. They offered everything. But he kept saying, Aniyor, give me more. So some very learned Brahmins, they understood. And they offered Krishna some tulsi leaves with love and devotion. And just to glorify Tulsi, who is an expansion of Srimati Radharani's dear gopi, Brinda Devi, he said, now I am satisfied. And after being satisfied, a great miracle took place. In front of everyone's eyes, all the big, big and small, small mountains of prasad and all the lakes and kunds of prasad manifested themselves. According to Lord Krishna's instruction, this prasad was distributed to everyone. First to the Brahmins, to the gopas, to the gopis, then to everyone. Even the chandalas were fed to their full satisfaction. Through this lila, Krishna revealed to the world that Govardhan Hill is non-different from himself. In the Garga Samhita, which our great acharyas sometimes quote, the origin of Govardhan Hill is discussed. It took place in Goloka Vrindavan, which is the original planet of Vrindavan, which is in the highest realm of the spiritual sky. Above all the material elements of this material existence, beyond Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Satyaloka, is the Viraja, the river, which is the border between material and spiritual existence. Beyond that is the spiritual sky, the Brahmajyoti. And in the upper level of the spiritual sky is the Paravyoma, who are the planets. There's the planets of Mahesh, or Lord Shiva in the spiritual sky. Above that is the Vaikuntha planets, where Lord Narayana, in all of his different forms, are residing, exchanging love with his devotees. But the highest, supreme of all planets is Goloka, which is the eternal residence of Sri Sri Radha and Gopinath. Krishna wanted to enjoy pleasurable pastimes of spiritual love with her. So Srimati Radharani, she spoke to Krishna. She said, I want to have this transcendental pastime of Ras with you in the most beautiful of all places. Please create that place, which is the essence of all pleasurable places to be. So to satisfy Srimati Radharani, Krishna began to meditate within his heart. He began to meditate on his infinite eternal love of Sri Radha. And that love, as he meditated on it, just grew and grew and grew within his heart. It's ever increasing. And then by his own sweet will, the love in his heart for Srimati Radharani manifested itself outside of his heart in the form of the hill called Govardhan. And at Govardhan Hill, Sri Sri Radha Krishna would perform their most intimate, eternal, transcendental pastimes. Now we read in Srimad Bhagavatam about how Kamsa, in his whole conspiracy of terrible asuras like Jarasandha and others, they were harassing the universe. So the demigods were praying with such intense desperation for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to appear. So once in a day of Brahma, the original forms of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna appear on this earth. That's once in every billions of years. So Krishna decided, along with the Yuga Avatar that appears tu paritranaya sarunam vinashaya chatuskritam dharma samstaparataya sambhavami juke juke. He comes in every millennium to annihilate the miscreants, to protect and satisfy his devotees, and to reestablish the principles of religion. So he combines that form once in a day of Brahma in his original supreme person, Krishna of Goloka. So he explained to Srimati Radharani how he was going to descend on earth. And as a matter of transcendental lila of love, Srimati Radharani said, if you go, I must go with you. So Krishna told Sri Radharani that, of course, how can I go anywhere without you? You should come with me. We will descend to the earth together and charm the entire universe with our transcendental pastimes. But Srimati Radharani, she said to Lord Sri Krishna that there will be no happiness on earth without Govardhan Hill and the river Jamuna. So please, let them descend also. Krishna explained, I will send them ahead before us. So Krishna sent Govardhan Hill as the son of Dronachala, who was born in the Himalayas. And the appearance of Govardhan, all the greatest of the mountains saw that he was the king. Therefore, they gave him the name Giriraj, the greatest king of all mountains. And even the demigods were showering flowers upon Govardhan because he had directly descended from Goloka Vrindavan. And his body was none different than the very body of Krishna. And simultaneously, he is Haridas Varya. He is the greatest servant of Krishna. Well, some people inquire, is Govardhan a servant of Krishna? Or is he Krishna? After all, when we do the Govardhan worship, when either we're worshipping Hill or some persons who have the permission and blessings of their spiritual masters and who go through a whole divine sublime process, they may worship the Govardhan Shilas, and they understand that the Shila is not different than the body of Krishna. In fact, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the role of his own devotee, Sri Radhika, he personally worshipped the Govardhan Shila. In fact, when he was in Vrindavan, when he first saw the first stone of Govardhan Hill, he was at Kusum Srovar, and from there he saw Govardhan. And he went and embraced the first Shila that he saw and began weeping in ecstatic love. This was Radha's Rani's love in embracing Krishna being reenacted through this pastime. And when he was in Puri and someone gave him one small Shila, he kept that with him at all times. In fact, that Shila was day and night always covered with the tears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love for him. Because in his worship he would see this Shila as none different than the very body of Lord Krishna. Sometimes he would put it to his heart, sometimes to his eyes and his head, and he would weep in ecstasy. And his dearmost devotee, the Prayojana Guru of our Sampradaya, Raghunath Das Goswami, Lord Chaitanya personally entrusted that Govardhan Shila for him to worship. This is no small thing. Lord Chaitanya entrusted the Govardhan worship to the Acharya that was going to reveal the highest level of spiritual ecstasy. Sanatana Goswami is our Sambandha Guru. That means he teaches us how to establish our relationship with Krishna, who's Madan Mohan, by being so attracted to the level of Krishna's service that we become free from material attachments. And he established through Rupa Goswami, Abhideya, how to serve and engage in the process of devotional service with great attachment by worshipping Lord Govinda. And through Raghunath Das Goswami, he explained the fruit or the perfection of the whole process of bhakti, prayojana, pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted love of God, in realization of one's own identity in the spiritual world. That can come by the blessings of Raghunath Das Goswami. To that acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave his own Govardhan Shila to worship. And he also would personally arrange to supply the ingredients to properly worship that Shila to Raghunath Das every day, with very, very specific instructions of how it was to be done. So please, just don't go shopping for Govardhan Shilas. This is a very serious worship. It should only be done when we're very qualified and when we have the abundant blessings, permissions, and orders of the great spiritual masters. Giriraj is non-different than the very body of Krishna. So, Govardhan was living in Himalayas when once Pulaschamuni happened to be traveling by, and he saw the beautiful peaks and the wonderful caves and the gardens and the waterfalls and the rivers and the lakes and the ponds and the beautiful flowers. He thought, this is where I want to make my hermitage and meditate. So he asked Dronachala, please give me Giriraj to bring to my place near Varanasi to do my meditation. So Govardhan understood this was his opportunity to go to Brajbhumi. So there was a condition made that Pulaschamuni could bring him, but if he put him down anywhere, Govardhan could not be picked up, would be there stationary. So in great ecstasy by his mystic powers and by Giriraj's blessings, Pulaschamuni was able to carry Govardhan, and he was traveling from the Himalayas down to the plains. And then, by the arrangement of Krishna, who is none different than Govardhan himself, who is the controller of all controllers, he had an irresistible urge to respond to the calls of nature. Hare Krishna. So everyone knows that a Brahmin, he doesn't respond to nature holding his deity in his hand. So following the proper principles, he put Govardhan down. Then he responded to nature's call. Then washed his hands, performed his purificatory rites, and went to pick him up, but he would not move. And where was he? Right where he is today in Sri Brajbhumi, Vrindavan. Pulaschamuni was very upset. So he cursed Govardhan that you will shrink in size one mustard seed for every day. So we read in Bhagavatam how Govardhan, at the time of Krishna, had peaks that reached the clouds. This beautiful, massive mountain. King of all mountains. But the devotees understand that this curse is only the very external reason why Govardhan is shrinking. Our great acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Jiva Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, they have revealed that actually Govardhan is shrinking due to separation from Krishna. And similarly, the Jamuna is drying up little by little due to separation from Krishna. And this parikrama of Sri Giriraj is something that is a very important primary form of worship for Vaishnavas. to honor and show our love for Krishna in his divine form of Giriraj Govardhan by circumambulating. Today that circumambulation is approximately 21 kilometers or 14 miles. But previously it was much more than that. We read how Madhavendra Puri, when he came to Brajbhumi, he did the full parikrama of Sri Giriraj, and then he sat to rest at Govindakund under a tree. We also read how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally performed the worship of doing parikrama around Sri Giriraj. And following in his footsteps, all the six Goswamis would regularly do Govardhan parikrama, especially Sanatana Goswami. At one time in his Leela, he vowed to do Govardhan parikrama every day. He did this year after year after year until he was old man in his 80s. And he would still do the full parikrama of Govardhan every day with great difficulty. Why? It wasn't just a ritual. It wasn't just a regulation. It was his love for Krishna who had appeared in this form. Rupa Goswami describes, of all places in the universe, the earth is the most sacred because so many avatars of the Lord appear on earth. And in the earth, Bharatvarsha is most sacred because those avatars generally incarnate, give their teachings and perform their leelas in India. And in Bharatvarsha, the district of Mathura is the most sacred of all places because it is in Mathura that Krishna himself personally appears. And in Mathura Mandala, the most sacred place is the forest of Vrindavan because it is there that Krishna performs his most intimate loving pastimes with the gopas and the gopis, which reaches its transcendental crescendo in the Ras Leela. And of all the places in the forest of Vrindavan, Govardhan Hill, Sri Giriraj, is most sacred because the most confidential, intimate pastimes with the gopas and the gopis take place in the forests, in the caves, and in the lakes around Govardhan Hill. And one of those lakes is the most sacred place in all of Govardhan. That is Sri Radha Kund. Our acharyas explain that Radha Kund is non-different than the body of the love of Srimati Radharani. And Giriraj is non-different than the body of Krishna. So Sanatana Goswami had this realization when he was doing the Govardhan Parikrama. But Krishna, who is always compassionate upon his pure devotees, could see how much difficulty it was in his elderly age, being in his 80s, of doing Govardhan Parikrama every day. Some of you assembled here today, we do it once a year with great difficulty. And we're in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s. And now Govardhan Hill is quite less than Sanatana Goswami's time. So Krishna, feeling compassion to Sanatana Goswami, appeared to him in disguise and told him, there's no need for you to do this Govardhan Parikrama every day. You're too old. But Sanatana said, no, this is my service. Inconvenience, death, that doesn't matter, but my service is my life. This is my service. But you're too old. It's too difficult. So ultimately, Krishna, in the form of a cowherd boy, went to the top of Govardhan Hill. And while he was there, the Govardhan Shila that he was standing on melted in ecstasy. And Krishna's footprint sunk into that Shila. And he brought that Shila down and said to Sanatana Goswami, that you just circumambulate this Shila 7 times and it will be equal to doing the whole Govardhan Parikrama. Then the cowherd boy personally took that Shila from the top of the mountain down to Sanatana Goswami, then carried it all the way to Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, which is at Chakaleshwar Mahadev on the banks of Manasiganga. From that day, Sanatan Goswami worshipped Giriraj by performing parikrama in worship to that Shila. And we can still see that Shila today at Sri Radha Damodar Temple. Also, we read in the Bhakti Ratnakar how Raghava Pandit took Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Das Thakur on the parikrama of Govardhan, explaining to them that many of the holy places where Sri Radha and Krishna performed their Leela, or where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed the Leela. So Giriraj is none different than Krishna. But at the same time, he is Haridas Varya. He is the best servant of Krishna. He provides the most sumptuous, tasteful, soft, fragrant, delicious, nutritious grasses to the cows. Ambrosial waters, streams and ponds that taste like nectar. And both the cows and the cowherd boys, when they drink that water, they become intoxicated. This is the offering of Giriraj to them. And also there's wonderful caves that are so cool. Cool in the summer, warm in the winter. Lit with beautiful jewels. The most comfortable places to sleep, to rest, to perform leelas. And the rocks on Govardhan Hill, they appear like rocks. But when Krishna or any of the gopas, gopis, or cows, when they step on these rocks, the rocks become soft and very pleasing to their feet. And they become very cool in the summer and very warm in the winter. In this way, Giriraj is offered great praise by Sri Radharani and gopis that Giriraj is the greatest, topmost of all the servants of Krishna. Prabhupada explains it in a very simple way. He says, because he supplies so much grass and cool waters to the cows and to the servants of the Lord, Govardhan is expert at knowing exactly how to please Krishna best by being the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So is Govardhan the servant of Krishna, Haridas Varya, or is he Krishna? Hare Krishna. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. He is simultaneously one. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he appeared as a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And similarly, Nityananda Prabhu is the Supreme Lord himself. But yet, he never accepted any position except the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He wouldn't even preach until Lord Chaitanya gave him the order to preach. By that time, he was in his 30s in age. Advaitacharya, we understand, he is the supreme absolute truth, the supreme Lord. But he only had one purpose and service in his incarnation, and that's to serve Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu knew he is the Supreme Lord. He would go to touch his feet, and Advaitacharya would say, "No, no, my Lord, you're spoiling my life by touching my feet. Somehow or other, I must get the dust of your feet. I must prove to myself, prove to you, and prove to the world that I am your servant." In order to establish this, he began to preach Mayavad conclusions of philosophy from the Yoga Vashishta. And when Mahaprabhu heard this, he went to Shantipur. He said, "Advaita, which is better, bhakti or jnana?" Advaita said, "Under all circumstances, at all times, bhakti is just a mere reflection of jnana." Hare Krishna. Lord Chaitanya, he jumped up on the platform, dragged Advaita down from the stage and started beating him with his hands. Advaita's wife, Sita Thakurani, she was crying out, "Please stop, my lord, he's an old man, you're going to kill him. Do you want to kill him? Please stop." Lord Chaitanya, he was beating him. And Advaitacharya was just laughing in ecstasy that now you have revealed to the world that I am your servant. Hari Bol. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead sometimes appears in the mood of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is Haridas Varya, Shri Giriraj Govardhan. So after distributing prasad, all the cowherd boys and the cowherd men and the gopis and the cows, they were just all singing the glories of Krishna. Such a wonderful festival, Govardhan Puja. Everyone was happy. However, Indra was very angry. When he saw what happened, his heart was boiling in anger. This small little 7-year-old child just trampled on his pride. He couldn't tolerate it. He lost his composure. His eyes were red. His limbs were trembling. He called for the Samvataka clouds. These are not the clouds you see during the monsoons in Bombay. These are the clouds you see at the time of the dissolution of the universe. He ordered those clouds. You go to Brajbhumi. These cowherd men, they are fools. They are less intelligent. This worship of mine has been going on for centuries. I'm expecting my offerings. And they came under the influence of this boy Gopal, who's just a talkative, foolish little child. And due to that, they offered all of the things that were meant to me to a hill. An inanimate hill. Go to Vrindavan, destroy Vrindavan, destroy the cows, destroy all the residents immediately, and I'll be right behind you on my Airavata elephant throwing thunderbolts to inspire you. Samvartaka clouds, for them this was an easy job. Usually they have to dissolute the universe. Now just one small little simple village, easy job. So they came to Braja. Hare Krishna. All of a sudden the cows, gopis, they looked up and there were these big blackish clouds that were just forming, and there was immense echoing rumbles of thunder and lightning bolts just flashing back and forth everywhere. Then there were torrents of rain. And then Indra also brought various wind gods, just to be creating tremendous forces of winds. The rain was not just falling, it was pouring. Today we see raindrops. There was no raindrops. It was big, massive columns just falling to the ground. Just like if you see a banyan tree, a really old, big banyan tree, where there's so many trunks and branches that are just coming down to the ground, the rain looked like that. And then it became iced hail. It was freezing cold. Things were becoming very dark. The cows were standing in the pastures, trembling due to the frigid weather. And they were just being pounded by these hails and these rains. The mother cows went to their little calves, and with that very soft layer of skin that hangs from their neck, they made it like little umbrellas to protect their little calves. The cows were just crying. And the bulls, they were angry. Rain was just pouring on their humps of their backs and getting all split up and fall to the ground. The bulls, just with red eyes, just looked to the sky. They were angry. Meanwhile, the residents of Vrindavan, they were thinking everything is finished. So they put the cows in front of them, and the gopas and gopis approached Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. That my Lord, dear Krishna, O great, powerful Krishna, you told us to worship Indra. And just to please you, we did. But now Indra is very angry. Look what's happening. We're about to be devastated. And your cows, they're suffering terrible. They're about to die. Please protect them. And we're also your devotees. Protect us too. So hearing the words of the gopas and gopis and seeing the pitiable condition of cows and calves and bulls, Krishna, by his mystic powers, created a little pathway that went right to where Govardhan Hill was. And then, for the great pleasure of all of his devotees, for all time to come, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who appeared in Vrindavan as a talkative little seven-year-old child, who seemed like helpless baby to Yashoda, who seemed to be just one of them, just a friend to the gopas, and who the gopis would weep and cry to think that Krishna made hurt his feet by stepping on the pebbles of the forest when he's herding his cows. That innocent little child of Vrindavan lifted the Govardhan Hill effortlessly as a child picks up a toy ball. He held it over his head with the little finger of his left hand. Shri Giridhari Maharaj ki! Shri Giridhari Lal ki! He smiled at all the Brijabasis and spoke to them that, you see this Govardhan? Now he has become a very nice umbrella. Everyone come under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill and we will enjoy the safety and protection that he is giving to us. Come now, bring your possessions, bring your cows, your calves, your bulls. Let us enjoy under the umbrella of Govardhan Hill. Do not be afraid. It will not fall, and no water or cold will affect you under the hill of Sri Giriraj. So all the Brijabasis, so many Brijabasis, and hundreds and thousands of cows came under Govardhan Hill. Some of you geographical mathematicians may be wondering how everybody was under this hill. But when Krishna's left finger touched Giriraj, he became so ecstatic that his ability and enthusiasm to serve became unlimited. So there was no limit. Every denizen of the entire universe could have come under that hill and got perfect protection without being crowded like Bombay train systems. There was no inconvenience. So everyone was there, enjoying seeing the beautiful face of Krishna. Meanwhile, it is explained by our beloved acharyas that the Sambhataka clouds and Indra himself, they were just pounding Govardhan Hill with this rain and with these winds and with these thunderbolts, trying to just tear it to pieces, trying to somehow blow him away from the little finger of Krishna's left hand. But because that little finger was touching Giriraj, just being touched by Krishna in that one little place, which happened to be the circumference of his tip of his little finger, that brought so much thrills of ecstasy to Giriraj. Paramdrisvani vartate. Higher taste. He was so much happy that he didn't even feel any of the lightning or thunder or torrents of rain that was falling upon him. All he could do is just meditate on the ecstasy of that little tiny part of him where Krishna was touching. And the whole hill of Govardhan was just trembling in ecstasy. Shri Giridhari Lal Ki Jai. This was very much frustrating. Indra and the Samvartaka clouds. They were beating, beating, pounding, pounding, more and more rain and lightning and thunder. But they couldn't even get one speck of dust from Giriraj to move. Hare Krishna. And all the animals that were on top of Govardhan Hill, that weren't underneath, they were just going about their lives. And they were all in ecstasy, because indirectly the ground that they were touching was being touched by Krishna. Not even a leaf from a single tree of Govardhan fell during this massive storm, which had the power to create the dissolution of the entire universe. While under Govardhan Hill, Madhu Mangal, who was also known affectionately by Krishna and the gopas as Batu, he said, actually, it is my Brahma Tejas that I has blessed, my Brahman Tejas, power of my Brahminical blessing that is empowering Krishna to hold up the Govardhan Hill. And Yashoda Mai, after some time, due to her parental motherly love, she just couldn't accommodate the fact that Krishna was lifting this massive mountain with his one hand. So she was in great anxiety. She was thinking that Krishna was overworking. Even in this material world, how many of your mothers tell you that you're overworking? I know my mother tells me this every time I see her. You should just eat some food and you should just relax. You're overworking. But Mother Yashoda is the supreme of all mothers. And she saw Krishna as her ordinary human child. So she began to pray to Giriraj Govardhan. She prayed with her heart that, please, Giriraj, please, grant me this one benediction. If I have done any devotion, if I have done anything pious, please grant me this benediction. That while you're sitting on the little finger of my Kanai Lal's left hand, please be very light and please be very soft so he doesn't feel any pain or inconvenience. The Brijabasis, they were looking upon Krishna. And each and every one of the Brijavasis, we're talking about all the cowherd men, all the cowherd girls, all the cows, calves, and bulls, each one of them felt that Krishna is looking only at me. Each one felt that Krishna is smiling because he's so pleased with me, because he loves me so dearly. In this way, he was satisfying everyone's heart. He was standing in a threefold bending form, smiling upon everyone. With his left hand, he was holding the Govardhan Hill, and with the right hand, he had it thumb tucked into his dhoti, right next to where the place where his flute was. And then, just to please the devotees, with that right hand, he took out his flute and began to play sweet songs. When Krishna plays his flute, the love of his heart for his devotees, and especially for his own Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, that love comes from his heart directly in the form of breath and flows through the flute to make music. That music is transcendental ecstasy of Krishna's love in sound vibration.
when it enters into the ears of the devotees, they become mad with ecstatic love. They simply want to reciprocate with Krishna in every way. When Krishna was playing his flute, Madhu Mangal, he became very worried. He began to pray, "O Gopal, Giridhar Lal, please stop playing your flute, because your flute is creating such ecstasy in your devotees that we know that when you play your flute, liquid objects become solid, and solid objects become like liquid."